cross. And we're just going to look a little bit at how wonderful that love of the Lord Jesus was, because it was a very, very painful, awful thing that he went through. The king, that's Jesus, was cruelly crucified. I wonder if anybody can tell me what this is supposed to be. What is one of these? Anybody tell me at the back what one of these is? What is it?
A whip.
That's right. It's a cat of nine tails, or that kind of thing. Just want to hold that. This was what Jesus would have been whipped with. Something with lots of strips of leather and bits of bone or metal at the end. Do you want to come and put it on the cross? Come to the front and just perhaps hang it on here. Can anybody tell me what this is? It's a pretend one, really. It's not a real one. Do you want to just hang it on here? There, you can put it there. Yeah?
A purple robe?
That's right, it's a purple robe. And what they would have done was the soldiers would have mocked Jesus, saying, you're a king. And do you want to come and hang it on here? This is one for somebody who's a bit more brave. Ow. I've tried to make it as circular as possible, but it didn't quite work. Anybody happy to come and put this out? Perhaps one of the adults? Grown-ups, because I don't want, you know, health and safety and all that. I don't want one of the... Mark, do you want to come and... Don't hurt yourself too much. See, this is the way that people treated Jesus, and it shows us what we're like, how we, deep down, treat Jesus. They flogged him. They twisted a crown of thorns. You want to just hang it on the edge there? They wanted him dead. They wanted it out of their lives. They didn't want the Son of God in this world. But that shows us what we're like, doesn't it? Have a look at our reading, chapter 19. As soon as the chief priests and their officials saw him, they shouted, "Crucify, crucify." Why? Why did they want him dead? The Jews insisted, "We have a law, and according to that law, he must die, because he claimed to be the Son of God." Verse 7, the Jews insisted, "We have a law, and according to that law, he must die, because he claimed to be the Son of God." Jesus was the Son of God. He claimed all along to be God's Son, God himself, God come to us. And what do we want to do with him? We want him to be flogged, mocked, and crucified. They were no different to us, the people back then. They were just like us. So the king was cruelly crucified. Because, you see, they didn't want Jesus to do what he said he'd come to do. They didn't want to treat Jesus as their king. I'll just ask you a question here this morning. Are you a person who wants Jesus to be your king? Are you a person who wants Jesus to be the Son of God? The one who calls the shots in your life? The one who tells you what to do? And the Bible's very clear that we're the kind of people who don't want God to be God. We don't want Jesus to be God. We don't want to do what Jesus says. In fact, we're a bit embarrassed of what the kinds of things that Jesus tells us to do. In fact, we'd rather he would just leave us alone and get out of our lives. That's what we're like. See, maybe we're like the soldiers, they mocked him. Or like the religious leaders who wanted him dead. Or maybe we're just a bit like Pilate. We're interested in Jesus. Yeah, he seems to have some good things to say. But when it comes to what our friends will think about us for being Christians, or what other people will think about us for being Christian, we're not quite so sure. Have a look at verse 9. "Where do you come from?" he asked Jesus. But Jesus gave him no answer. "Do you refuse to speak to me?" Pilate said. "Don't you realize I have power either to free you or to crucify you?" Jesus answered, "You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin." From then on, Pilate tried to set Jesus free. But the Jews kept shouting, "If you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar." Crowds didn't want Pilate to set Jesus free. When Pilate heard this, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judgment seat. And you know what he did when he was there? He washed his hands of Jesus. just like we would prefer deep down. Maybe one of the older adults want to come out and just wash our hands. We've got a bowl here. Because we treat Jesus the same way that other people treated Jesus. Don't know how you thought of Jesus before you became a Christian, or even in your home, you're growing up as a Christian, and you think, well, it would just be a little bit more convenient for me and my friendships if Jesus didn't expect me to do all these uncool things. Anybody willing to come out and wash their hands? Brian, thank you. It's just a reminder, isn't it? This is how we treat Jesus. And yet, he was cruelly crucified, and yet, what is his reaction to us? He's doing it all the while for us. He loves us. He's laying down his life for his friends. And that's what we're going to think a little bit about in the next talk that we have.
John 19, 17 to 27, page 1088 of the Red Bibles. Carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. Here they crucified him, and with him two others, one on each side, and Jesus in the middle. Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. The chief priests of the Jews protested to Pilate, "Do not write the King of the Jews, but that this man claimed to be King of the Jews." Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, dividing them into four shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. "Let's not tear it," they said to one another. "Let's decide by lot who will get it." This happened that the scripture might be fulfilled, which said, "They divided my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing." So this is what the soldiers did. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, the disciple took her into his home.
Well, keep your eyes on that bit of God's word. But I don't know how good your mums are at being in control. Don't know what mornings are like in your household. You know that you should be getting up for school and things should be happening, and mums generally are in control, but do they ever, sort of, their patience ever wear a bit thin, maybe? And of course, as husbands, we're supposed to be in control as well, but often we're back late or out early. And often mums are in control. But sometimes, just sometimes, does mum ever get a bit stressed out? Does that ever happen to anybody? Hands up if mummy ever gets a little bit stressed out. Don't dishonour her. Don't dishonour her. Because we can't be in control of everything, can we? And yet we see here, Jesus was going to the cross and dying on the cross, not because he was out of control or he wasn't in control of the things that were happening to him, but it was our sin that held him to the cross. It was because of the sin of his friends that he wanted to go to the cross, and he was in control of everything that was happening. John makes this absolutely clear. You see, Pilate, who didn't like Jesus at all, he ended up writing a sign that was absolutely true. God was in control. The sign was absolutely right. He was the King of Jews, the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. And then, what did the soldiers do with Jesus' clothes? Anybody remember what they did with Jesus' clothes? These people who didn't like Jesus at all, who were crucifying him, do you remember what they did? Yeah, Bobby? They ripped his clothes. So they took his robe, and there was four of them, so they ripped it. Because they wanted to share it out. They were just interested in, you know, making a quick buck. Oh, I've done this wrong. Anybody help me? I don't think you'd be able to do it. Anyway, you get the idea. I cut this a little bit earlier. Here we go. So they ripped it. So the soldiers ripped Jesus' clothes. And then, what did they do with these? Can anybody... was not in control of. I guess most of us would not want that to happen to us in public. But what does it say? This happened, verse 24, so that scripture would be fulfilled. They divided my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing. God had always planned that it would happen this way. He predicted it 1,000 years before, and Jesus was in control. All the Gospels make that clear. He wasn't going there because he was some victim. He was going there because he loves us, people like you and me, and wants to deal with our sin. And he loves his friends so much that he's prepared to lay down his life for them, even for his mother. He was laying down his life for his mother, wasn't he? Have a look at the end of that passage. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. See, there are his friends. Only a few friends at that point who are still with him at the cross. His beloved disciple, his best friend, John, who saw these things and has written them in his gospel for us so that we can believe them as well. But his mother was there. And Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. These were his friends. These were those for whom he was laying down his life. And he's in control. Now, just imagine that you're being tortured to death. You're naked in front of your own mother and your good friends, and you don't, like everybody else did who was crucified, scream out blasphemies and swear and call for vengeance on the people who are doing it. No, you are so in control of the situation and of yourself that you can say this: "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." Even dying in agony on the cross, the Lord Jesus is concerned for his mother, is honoring his mother, arranging for his best friend John to look after his mother. That's some control, isn't it? We lose control when we're a bit stressed in the morning. Jesus is fully in control of himself and the situation as he lays down his life for people like you and me and for his mother as he dies for the sins of the whole world. He's in compassionate control of everything. So where does that leave us? Well, for those of us who aren't Christians, it's clear that Jesus is laying down his life for his friends. And some of the soldiers become his friends by turning to Jesus and being willing to live for him. Some of the priests who had mocked him and killed him were sorry for not living for Jesus, and came to be his followers, came to be his friends, those for whom he'd laid down his life. If we want to be forgiven by God and loved by God, we need to become a friend of Jesus. We need to come under his control. We need to treat him as the Son of God. People who don't treat Jesus as the Son of God, who won't have him as king, will not be forgiven, the Bible says. If you want to be forgiven and know the love of God, you need to come and be one of those friends for whom Jesus died. But I guess many of us here, we are friends of Jesus, aren't we? Ask yourself, are you a friend of Jesus here this morning? Are you a friend of Jesus? Well, then, hasn't he gone to such lengths to love us and show God's love to us? Let's renew our commitment to live for him as our king. Let's be inspired again that he has total compassion. Whatever we're going through in our lives, He has full control. He is fully loving towards us. It must have been difficult for Mary, mustn't it, to witness what she witnessed, her own son being tortured to death in front of her eyes, and yet Jesus was doing that out of compassion for her, paying the price for her sins. Well, we're just going to pray now. You'll find that there's a confession on our sheets, and it's an opportunity, isn't it, to say sorry. Maybe for those of us who know we're not Christians yet, we know that we need to come under the lordship of Jesus. We need him to be our king, him to be the Son of God. Let him call the shots. But for many of us who are Christians, we know that our love for Jesus is not what it should be. He has done an amazing thing for us, and yet how quickly our love for him goes away. So let's call to mind things that we want to say sorry for. Perhaps it's good to put our hands together and close our eyes. That helps us, doesn't it? And just call to mind ways in which we haven't loved Jesus the way that he has loved us. Ways in which we've treated Jesus in a sinful way, like they did back then. Ashamed to know him. Or we choose popularity over following him. Or we really just want him to leave us alone and let us get on with our lives. So let's call some of those things to mind and then say the confession together.